It's good to be back with you all. It seemed like it's been a while, and it has. And thanks to everyone who's filled in for me, Brother Jack, who's preached and taught, Caleb, who preached Sunday, and then those who filled in. I think Lewis filled in some for Jack. So thank you all so much for filling in. We had a great homecoming at Olive Baptist Church. And they had a group there who did bluegrass, and I think it was a lady and two guys. They were college students. They were freshmen out of Bethel University, and she was like the state banjo champion and fiddle champion. And man, I tell you, it was good. And then they would do some of them old hymns with the instrumentals, and they would sing too. So it was really good. It was a good time. The church there, from what I'm understanding, they had a great attendance. And so thank you all for praying. Continue praying that God would move mightily in that church. I know the pastor well. He loves the people, and just keep praying there. So tonight we're going to be in the book of Romans, And I've been praying, unless the Lord changes it, over the next couple of Sundays, I'll be preaching Sunday morning in the book of Philippians. And I got some friends that are coming Sunday. I'm excited. They were going to come the last Sunday that I preached, but a lot of them are going to be on fall break. And so some of them are going to be coming this coming Sunday. One of them is my doctor. Danny Butler, and him and his wife are going to be coming. Text me last night. He said, "I'm really excited about coming to your church." So I got some friends coming. I'm excited for that and everything. So anyway, tonight as we look at Romans 8, we're going to be in some different passages of Scripture. But, you know, today as I was thinking about this, yesterday as I was planning and thinking through this, you know, over the past few weeks, I have talked to people who's just going through a whole lot. I don't know if you all know some people right now that are going through a whole lot. But it just breaks my heart. And you know, the thing is about God is that God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, many chances. And so there's times in your life that you feel like that your world is falling apart. That everything is unraveling, everything is just, you're just trying to keep everything together. You're trying to keep yourself together, trying to keep your family together, you're trying to keep co-workers together. And it feels like you're just always trying to keep everything together. And it feels like when you get ahead, you find yourself then falling behind. And sometimes that you can get in such a place that you feel like there is no way out, that there is no escape out. And I want you to know tonight, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Because we have one, capital O-N-E, one, His name is Jesus. And Jesus is our hope. He is our hope of salvation. He is our hope eternal, and I want everything to point to Jesus. And so be thinking about, as we walk through this, staying up when your world is falling down. You see, pain comes in different forms. Pain comes in a loss of life, loss of someone that you care deeply about, someone that you love deeply. Pain comes in loneliness. You feel like you're on an island and you're all by yourself and no one cares, no one gets you, no one understands what you're going through. And pain comes in broken families. That, have you ever tried to put your family together and you can't? Because we can't. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, that there is a pastor who had a saying on his desk. It says, "There is a Savior, and I am not He." So none of us can save anyone, but we can point people to the one who can. So whenever things feel like they're falling apart, there's five things that I want us to look at. Five things that I want us to remember. And as we look at Romans 8, there is so much instruction. There's so much depth. There's so much wisdom in Romans 8. But the first thing we're going to look at is Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. And please take notes, because this will be something that you will want to refer back to. Number one, realize that in the midst of pain, the best is yet to come. Because you feel like, and I remember David saying this one time, me and David, I don't even remember what the situation was, where we were, who we were talking to, but I remember him saying this and it stuck with me. He told them, you may feel like where you are at this moment, you're going to stay there forever, but you're not. And David was speaking, David Atwell, David was speaking from experience. From the things that David has gone through in his life, he says, because what happens at that moment, you feel like you're never going to get out of this, but realize the best is yet to come. Romans 8:18 says that I consider that our present sufferings, present, right now, things that are going on right now, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, what you're going through is not even going to be comparable to what's going to happen and what's going to come, the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now here's the deal. Here's the reality of it all is that you and I, we live in a broken world. And it's more than just broken. It is sin-marred. We live in a world that's not perfect. We live in a world that's full of sin. And so that's the reason why we see and hear what we hear. Have you ever looked at this world and says, man, this world's messed up? This world, can it get any worse? Yes, it can. The reason it's not as bad as it is that God's restraining grace in His hand keeps it at bay. But if He was to pull back, we would see ourselves as we really are. And so we live in a broken world. We live in a sin that's a world that's full of sin. But we have to always remember that the best is yet to come. Because he says, consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing to what's to come. Can y'all imagine just for a moment what it's going to be like in heaven? I mean, I'm 54. I'll be 55 in December. My knees hurt more than they've ever hurt. I pop more than I ever pop. But I remember how I used to move so fluently, I thought. And now I don't even have to do anything but get out of bed and be stiff. And as we get older, these bodies are what? They're decaying. They're decaying. They're fading. And one day, the reality too is that none of us are going to get out of our funeral. Every single one of us are going to go to a funeral at some point in our life, and that one for sure is going to be our own. If you don't go to any others, the one you will go to is your own. And every single one of us, that's the reality, and that's because sin has come into this world. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I've always said, too, that the biggest problem in this world is not politics. The biggest problem in this world is sin. The greatest solution in this world is not a president. It's a Savior. Don't ever lose sight of that. And the greatest solution to the sin that we have in this world is the old rugged cross, is Jesus Christ, who died once and for all for the sins of the world. And so, for the believer, for the Christian, the best is yet to come. For the unbeliever, you're living your best life now. Because if you died in that moment of unbelief, it's going to get worse. And all of a sudden, it is going to turn and it is going to get unbelievable, unbearable, unquenchable, worse. But in the believer, the best is yet to come. You know, I try to use analogies in our everyday life. I've always done that. I've had people come to me saying, "Man, I just like how you put it on my level." And I don't know how to take that sometimes. I'm not a deep theologian. I'm not a deep person who, I'm just not. I'm surface level. I think that God made me that way to be able to to communicate that way. And I think that's how the Lord has made me do that. But you know, there was a time that I went fishing with my brother-in-law. Man, I was so excited. James Forthman Jr. and my father-in-law. I had never been out on a boat. I've always been a bank fisherman. Walked around the bank, fished. Never had the honor of having a boat. And they took me out on a boat. And we got it. We put in at Barron. We went down to when you go out of Barron and you turn left, the next bay, what is that? That's Bay Creek. Okay, so we went in Bay Creek, and we just pulled up in there, and by the time they shut the motor off, I'm still getting my fishing pole ready. They're already casted three or four times. I mean, I thought, man, they are serious about this. And my brother-in-law threw a little George, and it went up in a tree, and it wrapped around that tree, and he started yanking it. And he yanked it, and he yanked it, and I had this thought. I wonder what happens if that little George lets go of that limb. And about the time that it did, I looked up, and you know those little lures, they have faces on them and eyes. And it magnified, and I saw it screaming right at me, and the treble hooks were going just like this in the back. And about that time, it hit me in the corner of my eye. I kid you not. And it didn't hurt at first. And then my father-in-law, he says, "I can get that out." And I wanted to fish, and at that moment, it wasn't hurting, okay? The wind had picked up, waves are blowing, but I'll tell you that in a minute. But anyway, he gets these needle-nose pliers, and he begins to put his hand on my forehead, and he begins to try to take them out. And you got to realize, I'm young here. I think I'm tough. And then all of a sudden, something else sets in. And it was a throb. My eye is throbbing. And he's already trying to get it out. Finally, we realize we can't get this out. We got to go back. We got to go to the hospital. And we hit every wave from that wind going back. And every time we'd hit a wave, that lure would go up. And I'm sitting there holding it. We go into the emergency room. That's Old Western Baptist. Y'all remember the old ER in the back there? We go in, and the first one that sees me is, I don't know, 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy. And he looks at his dad, and he says, "Dad, look, he's got a hook in his eye." I'll never forget it. Doctor looks at it. He comes in here, examines it, and says, "You got a hook in your eye." And I said, "Really? I mean, I didn't know that." So lays me on a table, gives me something to kill the pain, takes it out. Well, I say that, say this. It was such a relief to get that thing out. There was so much pain on the beginning of that part of it. But after it was over, now I don't even hardly remember the pain. I remember what the event that happened, but it's gone. You see, the world that we live in right now is filled with so much pain. But what's to come is so much better. You know, the Bible says that there will be a time when He'll wipe away every tear. There will be no pain. You won't have this back pain. Miss Kay won't have this pain that she's going through. And to see her going through that, there will be no more of that. The reason we are going through it now is because of the sin-marred world that we live in. The second thing, and I've already hit a little bit of it. Number two, is that we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world. Many of us can relate to what I'm saying when I talk about living in a broken world. Jesus made it clear in John 16:33. He said, "In this world, what? You will have trouble." I mean, he didn't try to sprinkle it up, make it look good. He said, "In this world, you might have trouble." He didn't say that. In this world, there's a possibility you'll have trouble. He didn't say that. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Is there anyone in here that's never had trouble in their life? I don't know anyone that's not ever had trouble in their life. But what did he follow that with? "But take heart. I have overcome the world." How often do we forget in the midst of our circumstances that He's already won? That He's already overcome the world? And in Hebrews, what's really neat is that our God, our Father, our Savior, He isn't distant. He isn't a distant God. He is a present God. He is right there in the midst of us. He is right here in the midst of us right now. I mean, He is right here with us right now, Terry. That blows me away. Because the Bible says when I put my faith in Him, He is in me and I am in Him. And our confidence is not in my own ability to be able to overcome what I'm going through. My confidence is in His ability to help me get through what I'm going through. And He don't always let you miss a storm. Sometimes He takes you in a storm so that He can make you stronger for what's on the other side of the storm. Have you ever been in a storm? Clay Campbell said you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're fixing to go into a storm. And that's the cycle of our life. But we have to remember that we live in this broken world of sin. The third thing that I want us to see is refuse to give up. Is refuse to give up. Verse 28. Well, let me back up to verse 23 and then we'll go on down. It says, not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, underline that, for in this hope, what hope? Jesus, that's our only hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I mean, if you just pause for a minute and think about how many times the Spirit of God has helped you in your weakest moments. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today. The Spirit of the Lord helps us in our weak. How does the Spirit of the Lord help us in our weakest moments? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a real question. How does the Spirit of the Lord help us in our weakest moments? Gives us hope and peace. I'm sorry?
We just don't know what to pray. We just say, Lord.
We don't know what to pray, but He does. He intercedes for us. Diane? He'll bring someone alongside us. Someone with wisdom. I don't know. Y'all need someone to come alongside of you with wisdom? Absolutely. I mean, God hadn't called us to Lone Ranger Christianity. He's called us to do this together. What else? How does the Holy Spirit help you? Yes, Jack.
Kindness of the Word.
Yes.
Word.
Absolutely.
And the experiences He's already brought us through.
Yeah. You think about why the Holy Spirit has to remind us? Because we forget really easy. And the Holy Spirit reminds us in those times. So in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. You ever been there? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words cannot express. And He searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with what? God's will, the will of God. In accordance with the will of God. How many of you want to be in the will of God? If you don't want to be in the will of God, then you want to be in the will of the world. You want to be in the will of Satan. So it's one or the other. So I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I want to be in the God's will. And so therefore, we need the Spirit of God to lead us in the direction of the will of God. Francis Chan wrote a book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's called The Forgotten God. And what he's saying, many times we put emphasis on God the Father and God the Son, but we leave off the Holy Spirit. And they are all one. They are all one. And so refuse to give up. We hang on to the hope rope of Jesus Christ. Number four, relax in God's care. Relax in God's care. There's times that I'll just feel like I just need to say this. God loves you. God loves you. One of the most simplest, most awesome things that a person can say. Sometimes as a believer, you ever get in the mully grubbies? You ever get down on yourself? You ever get... Sometimes we just need the reminder that God loves you. I'll have the grandkids over, Brindley over, Brooks, Connor, Kennedy. And every now and then I'll just look at them and I'll make sure that I've got their attention. And I'll say, Brindley, Papa loves you. Papa loves you. Connor, Papa loves you. I want them to hear it. I want them to know it. And sometimes we just need to, I need to look at you. I need to show myself. Man, Tony, God loves you. Daryl, God loves you. Just that simple reminder, Mitzi, that God loves you. And we can't even fathom, Bonnie, how much God loves us. And we just need to refuse and to relax that God has it all under control. Relax in His care. Look what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know that in some things, I'm making sure you're with me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Now, it may be a situation that you're going through that just isn't really fun. It just really is a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Know that the Word of God is true, John. It is absolutely true. Never steer away from the Word of God. And we know that in all things, pain, suffering, sickness, darkness, hurt, loneliness. Know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. I've shared this with you. Man, but I am just still blown away by what God did in my mom's life. I sit back sometimes and think, God, only You could orchestrate something like that. 70 years old. My mom went to jail. I'll never forget the phone call that I got from a neighbor. It said, you need to get to your mom's house. There is a bunch of cop cars in your yard. And I said, what? And I take off. She's not there. She was arrested. And there is all kinds of things going on in my mind, and I'm thinking, I just need to get a hold of her. What's going on? So those were a rough 40 days. So we're at the courthouse and the judge sentenced her to service. Community service. And I said, well, can she serve at church? In the kitchen. Absolutely. She gets back here and I'm a cafeteria kid. Cafeteria worker kid. My mom was in a cafeteria at McNabb for years. She brought home the cookies and the square pizzas and the chocolate milks and all of those. You know what I'm talking about? And so she knows the kitchen. She was a great cook. She goes and works with these ladies back here. And she sees something different. And it wasn't a year or two later that we have a conversation. And she comes to know the Lord. And I get to have the privilege of baptizing my mom. And a year later, she dies of a massive heart attack. And I'm thinking, all things work for the good of those who love Him. See, all this stuff in our life right now, when we get to heaven, it's all gone. It's all gone. This world is perishing. There's a new heaven, a new earth. And it's going to be glorious and it's going to be beautiful. But until then, We are to work and to glorify God in everything we do. So we are to relax in God's care, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God can take anything, anything, and turn it into gold. He can turn it into gold. R.G. Henson. Y'all don't know R.G. Henson. I know R.G. Henson. R.G. Henson came to me when I was at Hardin Baptist Church and we were going to Mission Beach. R.G. Henson was 80 years old and he wants to go to Mission Beach. I'm saying, R.G., there's a lot of going. I mean, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, he said, I can do it. He was a farmer, farmed all of his life. He wanted to go. He went, come back, loved it. When we going again? Signed up for the next year. We went to Nashville, Belmont. Kids loved R.G. R.G. couldn't lift a lot of stuff, but he could help. R.G. Henson went another year. I'll never forget, he come to me and he was tore up with poison ivy. He had been working in some weeds and got in there with all the kids and was cleaning it out, lit up. So I go to the pharmacy. I get him some calamine lotion and get him some stuff, and he puts it on. Had the time of his life. Scratching, but time of his life. Serving Jesus, serving the kids, comes home, tells his wife how great a time he had. This is a week after we get back from Mission Fuge, just still on high of just serving all week long. Goes out, works in his tomatoes, picks his tomatoes, goes inside. His wife brings him his lunch, a slice of watermelon and iced tea. He eats his lunch, he eats his watermelon, drinks his iced tea, kicks back for a nap, and ends up at home. He was on cloud nine. God allowed him 2 years to serve with those kids, and he looked, when he finished the first year, he couldn't wait for the next. It changed his life and impacted his life. You see, you and I are to relax in God's care, that He has it all under control. And the fifth thing, and I'm done, rejoice that God is in absolute control. He is in absolute control. When this world seems like it's out of control, just remember that it's not. God is in absolute control of everything. Do you know that the Bible says that God appoints kings? There's times that if a nation wasn't going in the direction of God, God would say, okay, we'll see how well that goes for you. I'll just back away. You don't want me. I'll back away. We'll see how that goes. Whenever we become a nation who turns away from God, God will say, okay, we'll see how well that goes for you. And we see it in the cycle of the judges, that they will be a people who love God, serve God, and all of a sudden they would turn away from Him slowly, and then the next thing you know, they're following the ways of the world. God will back away. They'll see that God has left them. They'll be in shambles. They'll repent, turn back to God. God come back into their life. But whenever you turn away from God, let's break this down, not to a nation, but let's break this down to a family. Not to a family, let's break this down to an individual. If you think you can go on your own and without God, I'm going to tell you something. God will let you. And it won't go well for you. It's only until you turn to the Lord, knowing that He is your help, He is your guide, He is everything to you. So we are to rejoice That God is in absolute control of all things. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? There is nobody bigger than God. What giant in your life is eating your lunch? Is it the giant of despair? Is it the giant of worry? Is it the giant of unforgiveness? Is it the giant of bitterness or anger? You see, when David came to head with the giant, Goliath, he didn't look and see how big Goliath was. He knew how big his God was. And he didn't look and was trembling with fear at Goliath and how big he was. All he knew was that his God was bigger. And I want you to know this. Not only does God love you, God is able to do far more, exceedingly more, than you can ever imagine. And I'm excited. Just because I'm retiring doesn't mean I'm not excited to see what God's going to do in your lives. We live in a world today of social media. I don't know if that's bad or good. Some people you ask, it's terrible. Some people you ask, it's a great tool to reach more people faster, quicker than ever before. But what we have is that we can still connect and see how God's working in our life. What happens if every believer, what happens if every Christian used social media in a way that glorified God? You know what would happen? Unbelievers would be blocking you because they don't want to see what God's doing here. But praise the Lord that you're blocked because of Jesus. That people want to unfriend you because of Jesus. Why? Because they're friends of the world. But as believers, our friend is Jesus. And He'll stick what? Closer than a brother. So I hope that tonight's lesson has encouraged you as much as it encouraged me as I studied it. Because we forget really easy. And we need to be reminded of the simple things that we already know to be true. A lot of these things I said to you tonight, I know that to be true. I just need to be reminded of these things from time to time. Encourage one another as we walk with the Lord. Walk side by side, hand in hand, because you know what? We're going to need it. We're going to need it. And we need to be strong together. Okay? All right. Any thoughts before I get our prayer list? Any thoughts? You're a quiet bunch. Let's pray. Before we do pray, Father, it has been so refreshing to just open up to the book of Romans, Romans 8, to see many of the truths that You have written through the Apostle Paul. Father, we know that Paul didn't write these of his own words. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That he just wrote down what You had him pen for not only him, but for us in this day and time. That we need to be reminded of these things and of these truths that, we are to walk in every single day. Father, we do have an enemy, and we know that to be true because Your Word says it as well. That's why we are to put on the full armor of God, that we have an enemy who wants to devour us, who wants to overtake our mind, who wants to control our actions, who wants to speak from our mouth. But God, let everything that comes from our mind and our mouth come from the Spirit of the Lord. That our hearts and our mouths and our minds will align with the Word of God. And so God, thank You. Thank You tonight and every night that we live for being a wonderful Savior in our life. Be with that one tonight who's struggling. Be with that one tonight who feels hopeless. That God, they leave here hopeful. And that they are pointed in the right direction and that right